Ruby.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm Hannah. Or did you say, how are you?
I said, how are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
Good. I'm going to mute this my phone.
Yeah, I'm going to mute as soon as it comes on.
Okay.
Ruby, I've been meaning to tell you, my Hebrew teacher isn't going to teach Hebrew next.
I'm sorry.
I think
she's not
going to ask
Hebrew. Uh-huh.
Is this Ruby?
Uh-huh.
It's Ruby.
Me.
Okay.
Yes, it's me.
I think you had asked me about the vocabulary words from, you
yes,
know, from my
did.
Class. But he's not
uh-huh.
going to teach next year. And
okay.
You know, so... Anyway, he's not even keeping up with the website right now. So it's kind of, that was the reason I never got back with you. And I've been meaning to tell
okay,
you that
fine.
For, I know, at least a month.
No problem.
Not
no
a
problem.
Problem.
Good evening.
Hello,
good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabekoa, Gedula Chimimba, Pati, Teneru, Antekimo Yutatsari, Kaberinat, Amkasadvenu, Sufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Udha Givavat Shamrem Nun Gimaldalad Yutaf Shin Barhem Tacharem Rakame Sikasa Tami Dam Lane Petit Resh Saritap Kimmel Kasin Kadosh Tilo Tufa Nael Adata Petit Set Nunayan Yahid Gea Lamcha Shata Yud Gimalamad, Pei Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tsiakatenu Yodea Kalumot Shin Kufal Sari Yud Taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Elohei Wahei, Adonai Elohei Wahei, Erachum V'chanun, Erech Epaim, Virav Chesed Be'emet, Notzechesed la'alapim, Noteawon wa'hecha, V'chata'av v'nakei. We're now going to connect to the energy of certainty. We're going to use Pasuk 29 from the Parasha of Yitro, from the Sulam Commentary on the Zohar. And we'll start with the L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kud Shabri Kurish Kintay Zitkhibu Urkimu Hilu 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 Riyasa L'Shem Yud Hei Bavav Hei Yehuda, Shumim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononeh, Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nan Dekudsha Berichu Koma De'aved Le'ela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Be'ovada Dikshot Be'le'lach Mila Be'alma Be'vae Barnash Be'dach Ya'le'ya Mineya Ulanhaga Beya Kalana Dehaku Ovada Dishot Inun Wikola Itzirich Be Alma The Energy of the Year 5778, Tafshin Ayemchet. Is to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishka vayavo hamelech liroto vayomer amnon el hamelech tavo Na tamar achoti Ud labev le'ele Shete levivot Be'evre Mi'ada The verse from Psalms chapter 32 verse 5 The name of the year Tashin Ayam Het is concealed in this verse. The letters of that name are separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha, wawoni lo kisiti, amarti ode ale peshai, ladonai, yohe wahe. We ata nasata awon chatati sela. The year 5777, the year of the goats, and the year of the wake up. There are also two verses that connect to that energy. The first verse that we study is from Lamentations. It's chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod Aduni Katzipor Oyevai Chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create Tzatzkiyach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of the words of the verse, we have Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The verse from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. This verse connects to this energy of the goats and the wicked. Concealed in the book is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. These letters of the name are separated by seven letters each. Shirin Vadon Yohewahe Elohechem Tadivaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776. I'm getting a lot of background noise, so I'd appreciate if you'd mute your phone Thank you. The year 5776 has the energy of the pause. There are again two verses that connect to this energy. First verse we're going to study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot vayehasum achechem halevim ad kelot hamlacha yad yitkachu hakohanim ki l'chalivim yishrei levav leitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa, Yola Yo, Walame, Hey, 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 Aka'a, Rekaha. The second verse that we study is from Isaiah, it's chapter 26, verse 4. Bitu Adonai Yohewahe, Ade ad ki bia yo hey Adonai yo hey wahey tzur olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is from Job. It's chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili riki. Next we have 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Ooh. Call Hamachadoyim, Asher Yitzabe Sham Ushavtem Elai Omachom, Behalachti Yitzem Wechayim Yeshno, Varetz Vehipasti, O Tel the Call Alfe Yehuda. And the third verse comes from Job also. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kigelo lanetza yobed roam yom ruayom. The year 5774 has energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse connecting to this energy. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom leami leYisrael untati v'shakan. Kachtav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu. V'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. We do this by taking each letter of the names with their root vowel and saying them out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shila lahe aka atahe ta hezayo alada. Wa-a-wa. Hey, hey, ah. Yo-za-la, me-be-hey. Hey, re-yo, hey, ko-me. Wa-a-wa, ka-la-yo. La-wa-wa, pe-hey-la. Nu-la-cha, yo-yo-yo. Mela he se se wa. Nuta he he a a yo re ta shi a he. Re yo yo a wa me. Laka be wa shi re. Yo he wa la he te. Ka wa ko me nu da. Anu yo he a me. Re he a yo yo za. Hey, 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 me yo cha, wa wa la yo la hey. Sa a la re yo, a shi la me yo hey. Wa hey wa da nu yo, hey hey shi a me me. Nu nu a nu yo ta, me be hey pe wa yo. Nu me me yo yo la, me re hey yo me ta re. Wa me be, yo he he, anu wa me he me, me he yo. Da me be, me nu ko, a yo a he be wa, re a he yo be me, he yo yo me wa me. Now we will connect to the 72 names from the Tzaddikim in the same manner. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo hey anu a ka me ta hey hey yo anu da la hey wa hey me a. Yo ta la me re he, hey yo yo hey me me. La wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he 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 wa. Nu yo he he shi a, yo re ta shi a he. Re la yo a wa me, la yo be wa he re. Yo yo wa le he he ta a to me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la a re yo a la me ta he wa he he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta, me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la, he be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he, a la wa me za yo. Da he be me ka ko, a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me, he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who left this 11th day of Nisan, Rabbi Shlomo Salman Lipschitz, Rabbi Bezalel HaKohen of Vilna. It is the birthday of the 7th Chabad Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Ben Nachman, known as the Ramban, the famous Kabbalist from the 1200s. And Rabbi Yeshaya Horowitz. In the 8th verse of the Anabah Koach, we say in a whisper, today's class continues from yesterday morning's class. It's preparing for the spring and summer holidays, primarily for the holiday of Pesach. We are, you can find the handout on the unique astrological times link and then proceed there right after Rosh Chodesh Adar to a link that says spring and summer holidays. And that will take you to a landing page. Please scroll down to class number 6. And then about 70% of the way down, maybe even 80%, we will start where it says the lesson of the Chametz and the Chamatzah. This is a teaching by Rabbi Gershon Winkler of the Walking Stick Foundation. Matzah is a symbol, symbolic of simplicity, and how that is a prerequisite to true liberation. Matzah is absent of fluff, of additives, of chametz. It is simply a blend of earth, flour, and water, baked in fire just long enough to coalesce, not a moment more, and then quickly removed from the fire out into the air. It's about the basics, earth, fire, and water, unified by air. The Hebrew word for air, avir, aleph, vav, yud, resh, also implies emptiness, as in the blank primordial space of Genesis, of creation, renewing. Any delay in this process invites enrichment, fermentation, elemental simplicity morphing into sophisticated complexity, and becomes then chametz. Matzah is often called lechem oni, the bread of poverty. Rabbi Yehuda Low of Prague wrote, because liberation requires us to become as the poor in the sense of not being shackled in bondage to things, to stuff, to property, and thus more free to resituate at will and begin anew than if there was attachment to such things and assets. In his commentary on Haggadah, Shel Pesach, on Ha'alachma Anya, this is an unwritten comment. We constantly ask, are you ready to move to the land of Israel? In the Kabbalah Center, the Chevra, the people who work there and who live there, would be told, it's Monday, so on Friday, you're going to fly to a new location, another center, and you're going to be set up there from now on. And then Friday came, the people are ready to go, they've let go of everything in this place, they're ready to go with the clothes on their back, their children in tow, and they're told, no, you don't have to go. This was done so that they would let go of everything. And just by letting go, they passed the test. They achieved the next spiritual level. This is the idea that Rabbi Winkler is expressing. Continuing to read. Ironically, in the Torah's account of the people's liberation from bondage in Egypt, they are instructed to eat only matzah, to adopt a consciousness of less, of simplicity, and elemental. Yet at the same time, they are also immersed in enrichment. They are given tons of gold and silver and copper, in jewelry, implements, and utensils. In addition to the flocks of sheep and the herds of cattle and anything else they needed for their journey home. So what's with this matzah business, when the Exodus was certainly not a time of simplicity consciousness? And what is meant by the reason for matzah being that they didn't have time to allow the dough to rise, because they were being hurried out of the land. The fact is that they had plenty of time to bake normal enriched loaves of bread before they left. They were ready for the Exodus days before, and then instructed to have a ritual sit-down feast the night before they were to actually leave, and didn't actually leave until the following morning. Then, listen to this. Then, when 49 days later they arrived at Mount Sinai for the great revelation, they are told to commemorate this most special, most holy, most momentous event of the entire Exodus with an offering that had to include not matzah, but chametz. Chametz was the equivalent for the ritual celebration of Shavuot, of the revelatory experience at Sinai. One would suppose that the offerings for this lofty event ought to be matzah, the spiritual bread of simplicity, absent all the superfluity and enrichment of chametz. Yet it's the other way around. Bread of abstinence for the occasion of enrichment, and bread of enrichment for the occasion of abstinence. Bread of scarcity for the time our ancestors were weighed down with gold and silver in their exodus from Egypt, and bread of plenty for the time our ancestors were instructed to become abstinent in preparation for receiving the revelation at Sinai. Matzah for when we gorged ourselves on the flesh of lamb, and chametz for when Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. This is not a question. This is the very lesson inherent in the mitzvah. In the ritual of chametz and matzah, it is about a life lived in balance betwixt them both. This is Judaism 101, a way of living that is neither about simplicity nor superfluidity, but both. That is neither about spirituality nor physicality, but both. That is neither about abstinence or indulgence, but both. And that any attempt to live one way to the dismissal of the other is doomed to failure, subject to distortion and bound to go the way of most relics and end up in the museum. The lesson of the rituals of chametz and matzah, and each their respective place in our lives, is played out daily in front of our eyes. In the drama of fundamentalism across the religious denominational board, religious extremism emerges out of an obsession with matzah consciousness to the dismissal of chametz consciousness. No less than the hedonistic extremism emerges out of an obsession with chametz consciousness to the dismissal of matzah consciousness. Our ancestors were being taught that during those times when we are being enriched, we need to remember where the gift of that enrichment is coming from, lest we declare, my own power and the might of my own hand has made possible all of this accomplishment. And so they were told to eat the bread of simplicity, not because they didn't have time to bake normal bread, but because they could not delay, as in they were instructed not to focus too long on the physical form of their enrichment, to the point of losing awareness of its spiritual origin. And by the same token, they were instructed during the time of the great divine revelation at Sinai to not lose themselves in the ecstasy of spirit, to the neglect of the gift of embodiment, by celebrating ritually with chametz. So on Passover, the Israelites were told to not delay, to not allow the dough to rise any longer than 18 minutes, which explains what happened during the incident of the golden calf, when those of the fundamental extreme sort were still stuck on matzah consciousness, when the time now called for chametz consciousness. And being stuck on matzah consciousness, they reacted with extremism when Moses delayed in returning, when he was supposed to. He did not come down from the mountain within those proverbial 18 minutes, which is the fundamental extremists still stuck in matzah consciousness. They made Moses chametz, and so they willingly yanked off their forms of enrichment, their chametz, their earrings, their nose rings, and the like, and cast them into the fire, into the matzah oven. And it turned into exactly what it was that they were worshiping by being stuck in one way of seeing things, an idol, a golden calf, an edifice of gold, of chametz, which Moses then melts down for them to drink in order to imbue them with their own chametz, their own inner demons that had compelled them to react as they did to Moses' delay, to Moses returning from the realm of spirit with two stone tablets comprised of both matzah and chametz, of spirit and the embodiment of spirit. The lesson of chametz and matzah is an important one, to do our best to walk neither to the extreme left nor to the extreme right, but to bide our time somewhere in between, knowing when to turn into our matzah consciousness. In times when we are blessed with the enrichment of physical indulgence, and when to tune into our chametz consciousness, such as in times when we are blessed with the inspiration of spiritual elevation or spiritual elation. Like the second century Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah taught, if there is no flower, there is no Torah. And if there is no Torah, there is no flower. My commentary. This teaching is for Pesach and Shavuot. There is a similar Hasidic teaching for all year. One is to have in his pocket two pieces of paper. In his right pocket he is to have written, "You are the son or the daughter of a king." And in his left pocket he is to have written, "You come from a putrid drop of sperm." When you are feeling on top of the world, when your ego is growing, take the paper out of your left pocket and read about your beginning from sperm. When you are feeling down, take the paper out of your right pocket and remember you are a son or a daughter of a king. It is always about the center column, the balance point. It is always about living in balance and staying away from the extremes. Remember this lesson when the astrological forces of Nisan are pushing you into the wars and the battles and the conflicts. Where is your balance point? Is the question that each person must decide. In our next class, which we will continue a little bit today, we will study the Seder by looking at the relationship of the Seder plate to the Magen David, to the Shield of David, often translated as the Star of David. In case we have time this day, I want to mention the difference between the Magen Solomon and the Magen David. Sometimes these two items are used interchangeably, but actually they are two different things. The Magen Solomon is two squares that are offset versus each other and thus have 8 points. The Mogad David has 6 points, since they are two offset triangles. One day I hope to give a class explaining how the Mogad David is also a representation of the Tree of Life. And in fact, during the Seder, when we create the Seder plates, we are creating the tree of the lower Sephirot of the Tree of Life. I hope one day to give a class explaining how the Magen David is also a representation of the Tree of Life. And that is why Rabbi Ashlag cautions us to not utilize the various glyphs, as that two-dimensional picture stops us from realizing the full extent of the true picture, which can only be seen within our imagination. Does anyone have any questions? If you go back to
Hanak, you know, when you look at the star,
yes,
of Magen David, it represents the Tree of Life that also connects to the Sephiroth,
yes,
and the body of man. Is that correct?
The Sephiroth and the body of who?
Of man. You know, like your right arm is
yes,
Hesed, your left arm is Gevurah,
yes,
the middle body is Tiferet. Your,
yes, it does connect to the body of mankind, yes.
Okay.
But you also always need to remember that these are metaphors. You're really dealing with power stations, intense levels of energy.
Okay.
For us to continue, we return to the Hant landing page for the preparation of the spring and summer holidays. And now you can open up class 6, part 2. Actually, we should just say that we should go back to. I have to. Give me a second, please. Open up class 7. And we will start with the Pesach Seder preparation. We won't finish it today. We will finish it during the week before the Seder. So we open up with more on matzah and chametz. Matzah and chametz, chametz u'matzah, come from the similar source, but differ in that matzah has the letter hey, while chametz has the letter chet. Chametz is spelled chet mem tzadi, while matzah is spelled mem tzadi hey. They share the letters Mem and Sadi. Together, these spell the word Matz, which means to beat, or Metz, which means to oppress. The letter het is similar to the word het, which means sin. Thus, chametz can be thought of as het metz, which means the sin of oppression. When we eat chametz, we are oppressing our souls, our yetzer tov, our good inclination, and subjecting it to the foreign power, the yetzer hara. Another aspect of this sin of oppression is that of coercion in our own lives. When we try to be right with our ideas being a better solution for another person than their own perceptions of what is right for them, we are committing this sin of oppression. When we perceive what we think is right for another person, we may be compromising and redirecting that person's essence, unless we have true love for that person. It is better to not make a suggestion unless the person asks us for our opinion. One of the purposes of the matzah is to correct for that sin of oppression. Matzah can be thought of as metzeh, which means to oppress the five. The letter he has a numerical value of five. The sages list four cardinal sins: idolatry, bloodshed, immorality, and lashon hara, gossip. I would like to add one more, the sin of apathy and forgetfulness. Too often we sit by and let evil happen because it is either not our concern or we don't have time to get involved. Maybe someone else should do it. The end result is that the evil goes on. By eating the matzah, we oppress these five deadly sins and free ourselves for the 1 week for a spiritual redemption. Matzah, spelled backwards, is Hatzom, which means the fast, or Chatzam. Scrolling problem should be cleared up momentarily. Matzah spelled backwards is Hatzom, which means the fast, or Chatzam, which means the thirst. The difference is vowels, while the letters are the same. Therefore, the matzah is a thirst for answers. The sages also called matzah as Lechem Oni. Translation is poor bread, or bread of the poor. The sages also interpret lechem oni not as poor bread, but in the sense of oneh, meaning answers. The matzah is the bread over which answers are given in the Haggadah. We say, Halach Ma'anya. This is the bread of affliction. This can also mean this is the bread of answers. After the four questions are asked during the Pesach Seder, the matzot are uncovered, and we deliver the answer to the youngest child. Remember, Halach Ma'anya precedes the four questions and actually starts the section called Magid, the storytelling of the Haggadah. Thus, the writer of the Haggadah is teaching us the truth about cause and effect. It is the answer that is the cause, and the question that is the effect of the answer that wants to be revealed. Very Kabbalistic and very true. Chametz can be thought of as Tzam Chet, or thirsting for sin. By relying on material possessions instead of devoting ourselves to good deeds. Torah study and the performance of mitzvot, we lust after those things that in the end makes us poorer and not richer. We are not truly free if we are slaves to our possessions. Here's another teaching by Rabbi Gershon. Nooks, crannies, and pockets. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, in Pesachim, and also according to the 16th century Rabbi Moses Isserles, the Rama, we search the nooks, the crannies, and our pockets as well. This applies within our homes and within ourselves. Chametz, usually it is translated as leavening, any breadcrumbs or remnants of other leavened foods. None of it is allowed in our bellies or our homes on Pesach. Passover is a time of basics, absent fluff. So we feast on matzah instead of bread. Matzah is made of flour and water, period. Matzah is a very basic representative of freedom. The highest experience of liberation is simplicity. Matzah is called lechem oni, the bread of poverty, because freedom requires us to become as the poor, in the sense that they are not shackled in bondage to things, to stuff, to property, and are thus more free to resituate themselves at will than those of us who are attached to many things and all these many assets. The 16th century Rabbi Yehuda Lowe of Prague, known as the Maharal, in his commentary on the Haggadah Shel Pesach, on the song Halach Ma'anya, teaches matzah, creator blended earth, which is flour, and water. The sole composition of matzah from which all else evolved. Chametz and matzah virtually share the same letters, as we've discussed. Only the letters differ in their arrangement for each, and the letter Chet in Chametz is not open at its upper left corner, while in the word matzah, the letter He has the opening in the upper left corner. This is to teach us that the difference between attachment and freedom is a simple little mark, a dot, a point, as in the point of Genesis from which all came into being. Therefore, we eat matzah for 7 days, corresponding to the 7 cycles of creation, remembering during this period of spring of life emerging anew, that every now and then we need to release our attachments, transform the chet into a hay, to remember we came from nothing. We are emanating every moment from the invisible point of Genesis into beingness. When we attempt to give form to the point of Genesis, we create a chet, which means fence, and become slaves to our attachments, the chametz. When we cease our attempts at defining the mystery that is Hashem, we become free of our attachments, and we create a hay, which means window, implying possibility, visioning, freedom. Chametz reveals, reversed, spells tzaneach, the Hebrew for sprouting, being, or tzemach, simply growth. This implies that the opposite of chametz, of excess, fluff, is growth, freedom from the weightiness of too much stuff, which then allows us to evolve to become more organic and grow, branch out, become free from chametz throughout our homes. On a deeper level, adding the 16th century Kabbalist Rabbi Yeshayahu ben Avraham, we are examining our home life to rid it of chametz, of what keeps us stuck, of what veils us from being more conscientious in our day-to-day relations with our loved ones. Why then do we clean the house of Torah study and the synagogue? Because, he continues, even there we need to examine, to seek out the chametz that accumulates in our spiritual lives as well. How pure is our learning, our sacred studies, our prayers? With what have they possibly been tainted over time? Maybe we have used these verses to show off our righteousness or our piety, our religious correctness. Maybe we have used them as escape routes to avoid facing important issues in our lives, and other examples. And why then does Rabbi Yisraelis add pockets? Because, writes Rabbi Yisrayahu, we need also to examine how we conduct ourselves around money. Have we dealt honestly in our business dealings? Have we been generous towards those in need? When we do these last searches, the Bekidah, we use candles. The question as to why is written in the Talmud Yerushalmi. And we do these inspections not by the light of the sun, nor by the light of the moon, nor by the light of the stars, only by the light of a flame. For the flame of Hashem is the human soul, searching all of the inner chambers of the belly. This is the end of our class. We will pick up tomorrow night at the same point. Does anyone have any questions? I bid you all good evening. A wonderful Freilich Pesach, a happy Pesach, and a joyful environment. Shalom to
all.
Shalom, Gadol.
Shalom.
Thank you, Ruby. Take care. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.